Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. I'm Rob Alley.
And I am J.B. Mosher.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
Man, I am doing fantastic. We are kicking off Modern Men of Pop Month.
Come on.
With Rob's favorite artist of 2021.
Yeah.
He has mentioned that on several occasions.
Right.
So good little plug there. So many things I like about Cody Fry, which you will hear in our interview with him. And like so many times, full disclosure, I used all my best up in the interview as I wanted this artist to see our admiration for his work.
Right.
Rob, kick off with the track that we're talking about, the best artist named after a hamburger side item. Take it, Rob. Run with it. Play a little Cody Fry.
This is Thinking About You by Cody Fry. Oh, man.
Man, put on headphones, everybody.
Yep.
Golly.
I'm a better dancer with Cody Fry on.
We all are.
Like I'm living on a cloud. Out here just floating around.
So much space.
Ah, yes.
I got a tendency to move too fast. Even when I know I'm walking on glass. Someone better hold me back now. Slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. But I just gotta.
That's so beautiful warm. Underneath.
I'm still thinking about you. I'm still thinking about you. You can't stop thinking about you. I'm still thinking about you.
Come on.
Goodness gracious.
This song, and we've talked about this before in one of our sort of between season playlist My Life episodes, which I know those don't get as many listens. Not as many folks are hip to those yet. But this song, first of all, from the 2021 album, Pictures of Mountains, which I said previously was my album of the year for 2021. And I told Cody in the interview, and this holds true. This album was my favorite album since Brandon Flowers' album, The Desired Effect, which came out in 2016, I think. Maybe 2015, actually. My favorite album since then, and one of my favorite albums of the last decade. It's been a long time. These kind of albums that I just listen to over and over and over again, front to back, are so few and far between now. This album just kicks all kinds of tail and goes all kinds of different places emotionally. We're going to play you some more of his stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear kind of the range of what Cody Fry does and is capable of. But this song, dude, just grooves for days. It just grooves so deep, you know? And I've said before that we're living in...
I feel like every time I say, yeah, I'm doing the yep from the song.
Yep. I've said before, we're living in like a golden age of white boy funk. You know, we've got your Corey Wongs of the world and Fearless Flyers and Wolfpack and you know all that stuff. And Cody Fry in this context just sits right in perfectly. You know, in that sort of groove, he's so good. He's got such great feel.
Yeah,
you know, and then the songs are great on top of it. Like. Some guys can play, some guys can groove, some guys can produce.
Some guys, yeah, their arrangement.
Yeah.
That's,
and some guys can write great songs.
And he's all of it.
Cody's a five-tool player.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
Like
he does it all, if I can steal that baseball term. So this album, Pictures of Mountains, I can't recommend it highly enough. What's funny about him, if you go on Spotify, you said we're starting the Modern Men of Pop Month, and so typically when we talk about a song, I talk about where it charted on Billboard, the awards it won, blah, 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 blah. I should mention, Cody was nominated for a Grammy this year.
That's like, amazing.
This is how current, you know what I mean? We talked to a lot of people who are who were like popular in previous decades and sort of are even up to, you might call them legacy artists, you know, that kind of thing. And we've talked to people who were at one point nominated for Grammys, you know, that
you
kind of thing.
You can't be any more modern man of pop.
Yeah.
This is as modern as it's going to get.
Literally the epitome of modern men of pop is Cody Fry. So, If you go on his Spotify, though, what you see, if you go to his most popular songs, the feel is not what we just listened to.
Yeah.
We're going to, it's into the other end of what he does super duper well. And it really showcases his range as a writer, as a ranger, as a player. Typically, as we introduce a song, I talk about Billboard charting things and you know, awards won and that kind of stuff. But for the Modern Men of Pop Month, I'm going to go with Spotify stats because not all these guys yet have taken over the Billboard charts in the way that many of the songs that we have covered have done. So,
and in modern eras, Spotify is, that's, man, that's a trophy in its own.
Exactly. It is one of the markers that show an artist to be success. It's sort of the, what do you call it, like the proof of concept.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Can be your Spotify numbers or your Spotify following. So just to give you an idea where we are with Cody Fry, this and these numbers are by no means a value judgment or anything like that. Just kind of to let you know where we are with these guys. Cody has 2,866,443 monthly listeners on Spotify.
Amazing.
So there's
a lot of listeners.
Almost 3 million and rising. That was as of yesterday before, you know, before we recorded this episode. So it's probably more by now, I'm sure. But that's just people who listen to him every month on Spotify.
After all that Grammy talk.
That's right. So after, and that's not counting your other streaming platforms. Yeah. I'm just going with Spotify kind of as the marker. So he has 164,339 followers on Spotify. And his top track is actually I Hear a Symphony from the album Flying, which has over almost 85 million listens on Spotify. And that song is significant because it shows the power in the modern music world of TikTok. I Hear a Symphony just took off on TikTok last year, and Cody's going to talk about it in the interview, and became, you know, it gets used in these sort of TikTok, I guess you would call them a meme, really. These videos that people like recreate and do their own versions of, and they use I Hear a Symphony in it, get you all these plays on TikTok, and then drives people to go, oh, I want that song.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to Spotify and they pull the song in. And so that song, as we record, is sitting at almost 85 million listens just for I Hear a Symphony alone. His other most popular, the top five on Spotify, would be his Grammy-nominated arrangement of Eleanor Rigby, the Beatles classic, you know what I mean, which is a monster song to begin with. And then he took it and did this incredible arrangement with a virtual choir and all this stuff, which has over 28 million listens. His track Underground from his latest project, he's got one. So at the time we talked to him, Pictures of Mountains was his latest. He has since done this album called Symphony Sessions, which has Eleanor Rigby Underground. It's got a version of Sailboat with Ben Rector.
Which is awesome. Oh, I love it.
So good. The whole album is so good. But Underground has this. I'm just going to play you a minute of it. And you can hear kind of this this other side of him. So this is the Symphony Sessions versions where he went in. He does a ton of really, really, really great plug-in strings and symphony stuff, you know what I mean? Done with MIDI and samples and all this kind of stuff. But this is with a live orchestra recorded, I believe, at Ocean Way in Nashville. This track is Underground, but it plays, track one is called Caves, and it's like a minute and 45 seconds, which basically plays as a prelude to this track Underground, okay? So I highly recommend cranking your volume all the way up and listening to them back to back, okay? Listen to Caves and Underground back to back. Here's how Underground starts. And this is all live, him standing in front of the symphony.
Woke up underground.
His performance is so flawless.
Not a light, not a sound. Threw my voice into the dark.
So this is kind of the other side. syrupy sweet, emotional. Okay, so you get this, but listen to how this thing builds, dude. I'm gonna take it to the third verse of this, and basically the story is: I woke up underground. I can't see any light. I'm trying to feel my way out to see if I can get out of the darkness. And then the chorus is: he hears in the background. Okay, that's intentional. That's not just a melody. That's what he's hearing in the distance. He's hearing this thing, but he can't see anything. So you get into the third verse and you realize he's found metal. And he's like, okay, I feel this metal thing and it's kind of going down. So he's following this metal. And then
a light broke through the black. I was standing on a track.
Oh, crap.
That little light began to grow. There was nowhere I could go. And the ground began to shake.
No, dude!
That little light was closing in. Suddenly, I'm floating.
Come on, bro! Dude! Okay, so he just got hit by a train.
Yeah.
there's metaphor going on, okay? Yeah. But so what's beautiful is you can watch this happen. He's got the tracking sessions on YouTube, and you can go watch it. And it's, you can see when they release the last note, you can feel the room, everybody going, that was it, dude.
Yeah.
That take was perfection.
That's the keeper.
Yes. Like just chills, you know what I'm saying? And then You immediately follow him into the control room where he's kind of overcome with emotion. You know what I mean? It's just fantastic. Cannot recommend enough. So that is sort of if thinking about you is the North Pole of Cody Fry, that's the South Pole,
yeah,
right? And he's got sort of everything in between, but the musicianship, the songwriting, the performance is always just top notch.
That's good.
Dude. So let's go back for a minute to thinking about you. Now that we've kind of introduced you, if you don't know Cody's music yet, now that we've kind of done a proper introduction, let's listen back to thinking about you and point out some things that we just love about it. First, the opening piano riff, jazz heaven, right? With this little pentatonic flourish here into this gorgeous chord. Boom. That's just tasty as the day is long, right? I mean, that is just absolute. You want to get me hype at any given moment, play me the introduction to this song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to throw something at you here. At the end of this prelude, I'm going to call this the prelude.
Okay.
Because what we get is this little like playful thing at the beginning. And then at the, yep, we get the groove that drops, right? And that's sort of the real intro that feels like the rest of the, feels like the rest of the song. Okay. But I want you to listen very closely to the last little bit of this prelude and tell me what other song it takes you to mentally.
Oh man. Okay.
Okay. Dude. Okay. I'm going to play you just a little bit of something else. And see if you smell what I'm standing in here.
If all y'all are yelling it at me out there.
I had to search. I had to search my memory to go, I know this is tugging at me from some other song.
Yeah.
What does this give me the feeling of, okay? Okay, you know where we are?
Yeah.
This is The Girl Is Mine by
Michael Jackson.
With Paul McCartney.
She walks right in my dreams.
And I want you to listen to the end of this phrase and see if it pulls to you the same way. Right here. Right? Do you feel that or am I making that up?
No. I get the...
I'm not saying it's purposeful or anything like that. It just hits me the same. It gives me the same feeling that gives me.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I would have never landed there because in my mind, those are two complete genre of songs.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel the stylistically, but I get what you're saying.
It just makes me feel the same.
Biker walk up
right?
there. Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, of course, come on. But what even are the... Come on, that like fat synth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a chubby synth. Then we're gonna get into this verse. How simple is this verse melody? Listen.
It's like I'm living on a cloud. Out here just floating around.
There's been two notes sung so far.
I got a tendency to move too fast. Even when I know I'm walking on glass. Someone better hold me back now.
It's literally centered around one note until that last line. Right? It's and then he's a little flourish of the you know what I mean? Yeah. And then he's got the right? It's got the like here, okay, here's a melody. If you need something, if that one note is
just
not,
to give you a little movement.
Yeah, just let you know I can write this melody. That's right. I just didn't have to. I hooked you without it.
That's right.
Right, but I can serve it up for you that's if that's right. what you need. It's just so crazy, dude. He didn't have to do anything extreme.
He's like, what and whatever I left out melody wise on the verse, I'm gonna bounce all over the place on the chorus with the slowdown.
Yes, that's slow down. Right. It's just and what's great is that note is not even a chord tone. It's right. So he's in other words, if you're in are we in B flat minor? Is that what we're in here? Actually, we're in A flat.
And be in A flat.
Okay, we're in the key of A flat. Yeah. Key signature of A flat. Okay.
Because that B that D flat major is the four
right.
and the F minor.
Okay. Okay. That's kind of what we're doing. So it's but the B flat he's hitting is a six over that D flat chord, right?
But it's the two of the key you're
and
in.
And it's the two of the key.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even really in those chords because it's going, the you know, the chords are kind of moving all over the place, but what we're essentially doing is going four, okay, to a six. And he's singing this note over both of them. That's not a chord tone, quote unquote, of either one of those chords.
And that six is minor for you guys that are, it'd be an F minor, right?
Yeah, oh, so, I'm sorry. Yes, the sixth chord. Yes, and so he's singing. That's the. It's the six of the four chord that he's singing. One, three, five, six. Mm-hmm. Right, or the 13.
Yep.
You would say, and then it's the 11 or the four of the sixth chord. So you've got.
Right? Yeah, Rob doing so that on his keyboard phone.
I know, right?
Guys, this is impressive.
So if you're in F minor, you're going one, two, three, four. That's what's singing. Whoops. Okay, that's the note he's singing. So it's not like he's in other words, he's not servicing the chords super on the nose, right? It's this, so he's like, I just picked this one note and it's going to work over these chords.
Yeah.
And it adds color to each chord. Mm-hmm. It doesn't resolve yet anywhere. Yep. It's kind of like, it's just moving. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so the groove is just going. And he's like, I'm going to sing this note as long as I want to. You know what I mean? And he's got you hooked. Yeah. And then you get the cool unison, slow down, which if you're, so that's, if you're counting, if you're playing along at home, that's kind of an F minor thing, right? So it's F, C, E flat, B flat, C, slow down, C, A flat, B flat, F, okay? That's what it is. Okay, that's with my limited piano
on phone,
single octave piano on my phone. That is all. That's the best I can do for you. And then, like it just goes back up. You know, with it kind of a lazy. You know, I love that. And then the chorus goes back to that same feel as the verse. Boom, 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 dun, 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 boom, 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 just. Come on. Musically, this song is just insane, right? And we talked to him a little bit about sort of the inspiration for it. He mentions Anomaly, who, if you like this feel, you should definitely go search out Anomaly.
Yeah.
That's A-N-O-M-A-L-I-E, not spelled with a Y like the normal word anomaly. But if you like this kind of feel and this kind of instrumentation and groove and whatever, you should definitely go check out Anomaly as well because you will be very satisfied.
Do you want to meet the band that played on it?
Yes, please.
Let's talk about it a minute.
Hey, let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey, mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band.
Hey! All right, let's meet the band that played on this track. Cody actually did a lot of it himself. So a couple spots where there's...
just a monster. One of those monsters that we all fear
so
and love.
So this meet the band section will be really short. So on bass, with the exception of Cody on bass on the chorus, Kevin McIntyre, I can't pick up the tone difference unless separated, yeah. If that makes sense. So there's little places where you can hear them separated that he has online and such, so you can hear it a little bit. I can't tell it. It fits great. Also, Kevin, that is also based on the Ben Rector Magic album, which I love.
We've both
love it so much. And he's done some recent stuff with Dave Cause. We got to see him play with Dave Barnes at the Ryman, rocking some white pants a while back. Bouncy stage presence. My wife loved watching him play. I was fortunate to get to.
I was wondering where you go. Like
my wife loved his white pants. No, loved watching him play. I was fortunate enough to get. I saw him with Ben Rector before the U.S. Soccer game at the where the Titans play here in Nashville, and I got to talk to him for a while. Super nice guy, yeah. Super kind, and you always like it when the people that you watch and admire are kind. So a kind guy, great bass player, Kevin yeah. McIntyre. On drums, Steve Gould plays. I don't know if it's pronounced Risen or Risen drums. Do you know? It's R-I-S-E-N.
I mean, it sure sounds like should, it reads like it should be
it
Risen.
It should be Risen, so. But I don't know. Could be right. Pasty cymbals, Canopus snare.
We've been corrected by a listener on our pronunciation of it's Pisty.
Is it Pisty? Okay.
So they said, make sure next time this comes up, it's Pisty cymbals.
Okay.
And it's Moog synthesizers. Not
Moog?
Not Moog.
Shut up.
Robert Moog. Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we learned the more you know.
That's right. So
cue
thanks.
The star flying.
At this point, that message was sent to me so long ago that I've forgotten who you are and I can't give you credit. But thank you for clearing that up.
Pisty. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong each time and then Rob will correct just because it's on autopilot. But thank you for that.
Yeah.
Check out I Choose You by Sarah Bareilles. It's money. He puts a splash on his snare. It's so cool. So every time he hits his snare, he's got the splash with it. So cool. Shaker in his right hand, playing while it's really cool.
Drummers are amazing.
They're awesome.
The coordination to be a great drummer is magical.
So check out Steve on that. So Steve, Kevin, and Cody. And there's your meet the band section.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. So yes. He's so talented.
Cody's doing all these synths, guitars.
Man.
All the, and I'm
plays different guitars, a telly, a strat. Yep. There's like multiple guitars that he plays throughout this track.
And I'm pretty sure even at the beginning of the track, I'm pretty sure part of the loop that you're hearing is just him making sounds with his mouth.
Yeah,
I think the stuff that you're hearing in the offbeats, I think that's literally just him doing that into the microphone. He's just one of these minds that just this stuff just comes out of him, you know. And you know, a lot of times you'll have somebody when they're doing if they have a song and they're going to add strings to it or whatever, then you call an arranger, you hire an arranger, and they write the string charts and then they have them recorded. Cody's doing all this himself. I want to be clear. This is not like this version of Eleanor Rigby, which I'm going to play you here in just a second. He didn't just commission this arrangement, right? And and it got nominated for a Grammy. He wrote this arrangement and tracked it all and blah, 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 and had hundreds of people send him in parts to form this virtual choir, which I'm so mad at myself that I didn't get included in. Yeah.
You could be on a Grammy.
Yeah. You know, I just got lazy and just didn't submit it. And so whatever. So mad about that forever. But yeah, let's listen while we're on it to the Grammy song, Eleanor Rigby. Kind of a different take, not entirely, you know what I mean, but it's got some different spots. A couple of different chords here and there than you might be used to hearing. One spot in particular I'm thinking of. What I love about this is it's got this sort of cinematic intro, right? You would see like a Chart Off Winkler production, you know what I mean? In cooperation with Disney Studios.
Yep.
And then the first time you hear vocals come in, it's this overwhelming grand thing.
Yeah.
Little motif there. That was all the lonely people.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it literally is like he's setting up for a movie.
That's awesome.
In the church where the wedding has been.
In a dream, waits at the window. It's just so dramatic.
Perfection.
It's so great.
That's awesome.
His song "I Hear a Symphony" off the Flying album, which is the what was your first Cody Fry album? It wasn't Flying.
Flying.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was Flying. And I probably listened to Go more than any there for
okay.
a while.
Okay.
Love that. That was in my top songs played for last year, the way it landed.
Okay.
Even though it's older.
Yeah.
I still listen to that album more than Pictures of Mountains. I love that album.
Flying, great album. And that was the first exposure I had to Cody, because this is going to come off like a big time thing that I'm trying to say here. and whatever, maybe it is. But I'm friends with the guy who mastered the Flying album. His name is Nathan Dantzler. My band worked with him way back in the day. He spent countless hours and got paid literally less than pennies to work on a record, and did it mostly out of the kindness of his heart. So he posted after he mastered it. He's like, this was an incredible, you know, thing to get to work on, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I went and checked it out and went, holy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wow. And so if you love Cody's stuff now, make sure you go back, because so off the Flying album, I Hear a Symphony is the song that blew up, on TikTok. And, it pushed that song's presence on Spotify and streaming platforms into the number 2 spot on the US Viral 50 chart and top 10 on the global Viral 50 chart, just from TikTok exposure. Like, it's a whole different world right now, you know what I mean? But a couple of noteworthy tracks on that one. I love Go, as you said. Let's play a little bit of Go.
Yeah, play a little Go.
Pop goodness. How would you characterize his voice? What does his voice feel like to you? When we get up high,
won't look down, we won't look back. Jello. Yeah,
when I die, I wanna know I lived that. Well, all right. I wanna run in wide spaces, fly like the wind in high places. He's got an undeniable chorus, dude.
When you're in my
head. Yeah. That song could work in pop music. That song could work in like modern country. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
That could be a country smash. I think probably my favorite song on that one is Better,
which
is technically track 2.
Yeah, with Corey on guitar.
Yeah.
Denim.
Anyway, it's still more pop vibes. But the great thing about Cody is he gives you this great pop stuff, funky stuff, and then he gives you the syrupy sweet stuff and these fantastic arrangements. I want to highlight just a little bit more of the Pictures of Mountains album, because I love it so much. I just want to play a couple of clips.
Absolutely.
Get you into some things. Let's do Photograph is one of his top songs on Spotify.
Absolutely.
Let's play a little bit of Photograph.
It's the evening light.
And I'll tell y'all to watch this video. I think we've talked about, like, the video, the way it's captured is perfect with this.
Yeah. Time before the night. This melody is just. And everything is golden. You're sitting on the chair. I think maybe. Wrapped inside. I can't say this for absolute certain, But this song, I think, maybe has my favorite moment of the entire album. Okay. And that's saying a lot.
Which is,
I need some way to prove that this was real.
Yeah.
The like, middle section of this song. It's so full of emotion.
If I had my will,
play it for you. Hang on.
Time would just stand still. Wait for me until I find some magic film to take a photograph and live inside.
Oh, just shoot me. I can't handle all the emotion on this track. You know what I mean? So let me play this middle. Here.
I need some way to prove that this was real.
That line just destroys me, dude.
I'm scared they don't forget the way it feels to be young and in love.
Come on, bro. Just the emotions are overwhelming. And so then you get all that stuff. London, I just love the song London. But okay. Then track 7 has this beautiful, it's like a combo song. Love a good combo song, right? Some, like when you have a title of a song that is one word / another word,
yeah.
I know I'm going to love it. It's almost guaranteed that yeah, I'm going to love it. Where like your like Spin Doctors, Shinbone Alley / Hard to Exist,
yeah.
That kind of thing is immediately appealing to me. So you get this Wonder Anymore / Dunes. Wander Anymore is dope. Like this song feels amazing. You hear it at first and you go, okay, I know where we are here, uh-huh. Right? It's got this piano thing. This makes sense.
A river used to run,
and then it just takes off.
Dried up in the sun. I think that I see water.
Oh, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go, oh.
Yeah.
I did not predict this yet, right? And then it goes even farther. You're like, oh, I can dance to this. I did not expect to be able to dance to this song. Come on. And even that, just the emotion of that, like, haven't we all felt this, you know? Now we're going next level.
Dust filling up the sky.
Come on.
Steals away.
Jeez. So then we get this song that's just dope to begin with, right? And then once this song fades, we get this incredible instrumental section. He takes off on this piano, like kind of dissonant.
I love that.
I do too. Let me get this. A monster. Okay, it's an outro, right? No. Oh, the beat's not finished. Oh, we're going somewhere still. This is so good. My gosh. You just can't. I mean, I just can't.
Take that hard to say I'm sorry and to get away.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yes.
It's
my God.
It's modern day Chicago, folks.
It is.
It's
yes.
It's wonderful.
So anyway, this album, dude. Skipping Stones and Fireflies, just give me a break. the gamut of feelings that you will feel while listening to this album, I don't think it can be overstated. Cody Fry will give you feelings.
That's right.
If you hear nothing else that we've said today, just if you want to feel some feelings.
If you want to feel feelings.
Listen to Cody Fry.
Cody Fry will give you feelings.
Yes, okay, absolutely.
So obviously Rob is the knowledge of all things this album and all things Cody Fry. But let's see how well he does on Stump the Genius.
Okay.
Play the jingle and we're going to do Stump the Genius Fry Edition. Wow. Here we go.
Listen.
If it's one thing that Rob knows, it's
that's right.
Pictures of mountains, Cody Fry, and French fries.
That's right. Here we go. If we're talking about starch, I'm about to ace this.
Game on. Play the jingle.
Stump the genius. Stump the genius. Stump the genius. It's time to stump the genius.
Jump up and take your part. I take your part. All right, we're going to play Stump the Genius French Fry Edition. Remember when they were named Freedom Fries for a little bit? Come on, that was kind of a fail.
I think it was Toby Keith's fault.
That's right. Anyway, okay. I was going to do all true, false, and then I was like, nah, let's just kind of mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
So here we go. Number one, Thomas Jefferson brought fries to America. True or false?
Oh, wow.
Think I was going there, fry.
No, I thought you were like, who's got the curly fries? I was going to be like, Arby's. Duh. I'm going to say Thomas Jefferson, known Francophile. I'm going to say yes.
Ring. Yay! Boom. There we go. His chef and slave at the time, James Hemings, made them for him. And then when they returned from France, he's like, let's make those French fries. Okay. Let's bring them to America.
Okay.
So there we go. Thomas Jefferson, one for one. Number two, McDonald's sells 1/3 of all French fry sales in North America. True or false?
I'm going to say yeah.
That is true. Right. 7% of all potatoes in the U.S. end up being McDonald's French fries.
Wow.
That is crazy. 1/3 of all French fry sales at McDonald's. So good.
Yeah.
So, which of these is not found in French fries?
Okay.
Vitamin A, vitamin B6, vitamin C, magnesium, iron. I can give them to you again. Vitamin A, vitamin B6, vitamin C, magnesium, and iron. I'm
trying to think of what I feel after I eat French fries, you know, vitamin wise. I'm going to say, okay, wow. The temptation is to say vitamin C. You think vitamin C, you think citrus,
yeah,
right? Uh-huh. You go oranges and you go, surely that's not in fries. I'm going to go a different direction, though. I'm going to say iron.
Okay. Vitamin A is not so healthier than you think. Don't you mix up some French fries? You
get full of vitamins.
Get your B6, your vitamin C, magnesium, and iron. Just go out there and grab some.
That's why it feels so good to go get French fries.
Let's go get some healthy fries.
When you're not feeling good, it's comfort food.
That's right.
Because it's really full of vitamins.
Which made...
I am so full of vitamins.
Who made the first French fry vending machine?
Oh,
okay, there was a French fry vending machine.
Okay.
Was it made in China, Australia, or Amsterdam?
Wow. I was going to assume Japan just because that sounds like such a Japanese thing to do.
China, Australia, or Amsterdam?
Australia or Amsterdam. I'm just wild guess. I'm going to go Amsterdam.
Australia.
Wow.
Okay. Since 1982, they've had something called Mr. French Fry.
Okay.
That's a vending machine where you can get French fries.
Sign me up.
I had sold. Right. Let's go to Australia.
How do I become a Mr. French Fry vendor?
We should message David Sterry over there from Real Life.
Real Life.
And be like, hey, man, send us a bank. Where can we get a sponsorship with Mr. French Fry?
Yeah, do you know anyone in the French fry industry?
That's right.
I'm ready to become a French fry.
Hey, who's our listener that likes the Australia? Who was it that suggested?
Oh, Gary Rockliffe.
Gary Rockliffe. Have you ever had anything from Mr. French Fry?
That's right. Yes, let us know.
Gary, let us know if that's real or if this is all falsified on the internet. Number five, which has more fat in fries? Okay.
Okay.
Thicker cut fries or thinner cut fries, which has more fat?
Okay, so I would say, like, per ounce, right? Like, if you weighed them out, I would say there's less potato and more crust in a thinner crust, in a thinner fry. So I'm going to say thin fry.
It is thicker because of the mushiness inside.
Okay.
There is more fat in there.
Okay.
So there you go.
I was thinking of
Rob came out the gates 2 for 2,
man.
Was killing the fry game, and then, man, we took a turn. I should have kept it all true false, and you would have ran the game.
No. I like to be challenged, you know?
Good.
I like
it's
to be
good challenged. Guys, you're going to love this interview. Super props to Cody for hanging out with us.
Right.
It's a lot of fun.
Honestly, I don't know if we're going to be able to leave this in the interview or not, so I'm just going to say it, and then if it stays in there, then you get to hear it, but I'm just not sure if I'm going to have to edit around it or not. But Cody got a door delivered to his house while we were mid-interview.
That's right.
That wasn't his.
Yeah.
Like, he
Great
didn't
story.
Order a door, but while we were talking with him, you may hear it and you may not, somebody just shows up at his door
with a door.
A door. And they're like, here's your door. He's like, I didn't order a door. And they're like, well, here it is. It came to you. And so hopefully I can find a way to leave that in and it makes sense. But I just want to let you know, you may hear Cody being like, somebody just tried to give me a door. I don't know what happened. Yeah. By the way, I got a question for you at the end. All right. Okay. We're going to talk to Cody Fry. We'll be back at the end to tuck you in. But in the meantime, stop what you're doing right now. Okay. I don't care if you're performing CPR on somebody. Put them down. They can wait. They can wait. They can, yeah. No, I'm going to stand by it. They can wait. Stop what you're doing right now. Go on social medias and follow us everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all at Great Song Pod. You can be part of the Facebook group, Great Songs and the Great People Who Love Them Greatly. Or if you want to go the extra mile and be part of supporting the show, helping us to produce the show, you can join us on Patreon. And for just a few bucks a month, you can help us to do more and go further and be better with the show. And we can in turn say thank you by giving you things like bonus shows, early release, extended shows, and all kinds of other ways that we can find to say thank you. So if you want to be part of the Extra Mile Club, that's not really a thing, but you can be part of the Patreon producers. How about that? At patreon.com/greatsongpod. We're going to go talk to Cody Fry. We'll see you again in just a second.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, we are here with the multi-talented Cody Fry. Thank you so much for joining us today, Cody, on the Great Song Podcast. Real pleasure to have you.
I'm so glad to be here.
I mentioned casually that I've really just sort of been binging the new record, Pictures of Mountains. I've listened to it a whole bunch of times, and it's one of those that, like, it's rare for me to find a full album. First of all, JP and I are both album guys. Like, we
listen start to finish. Like, well, I love that. And it's the way we do it.
And so till the day I die, I will beg artists to make good full albums. And so to find an album that my wife and I will both listen to front to back on a road trip or whatever is really rare. There's been like two in the last 10 years, and Pictures of Mountains is one of them. The others would be Brandon Flowers, The Desired Effect. And okay. So these are our now, you've made it to our official road trip album playlist. So, you know, it's
I love that, man.
Such a great record. We're going to focus our episode on Thinking About You, but we're going to talk, okay, you know, kind of the whole, you know, whole things about the album. And literally right before we start recording, JP's like, you know, he's got like a 20-minute breakdown of Thinking About You on YouTube, right?
Which is wonderful, which I watched there, and Rob's like, what? Because Rob's like, I wonder what chord, like, he had a question about the chord. I was like, well, I think it's this.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's a D-flat major 9.
But I'm going to ask you anyway.
He's going to ask anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
We can cover it all.
So let's start with this. My literal first thing, I was just listening to a bunch of music, trying to come up with some, you know, some good questions to ask you. And the first thing that just my fingers led me to was, who in the world made you this way? what was the musical diet that you grew up on?
You clearly have a lot of issues, and we just need to figure out where did they come from? No, that's a great question, man. I think, like, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that my father is a musician. He's an orchestral composer. And when I was a kid, he was a jingle writer. And so I kind of grew up with the whole kind of studio in the house thing. And because he was a jingle writer, he was always having to do things of different styles, right? So, like, for McDonald's, he needed like a kind of a kid's cartoon vibe. And then for a banking company, he'd need like a very serious classical vibe, you know? And so, and he was so excited about all these different types of music all the time that I never really developed into like a, like an actual genre that you could, you know, point to, like, that's what I love to do. It's just like, my father taught me how to appreciate all sorts of different types of music. And so, like, it's, I think that kind of is what comes across, you know, I just can't like pick a lane.
Yeah.
And that's his fault, but, and my fault now. So
thanks, Dad. Well, yeah. That's awesome though. That really helps me explain, because I listen to, listen through an album. You definitely get sort of, I hear sort of two Codys, you know, and obviously it's all you, but I definitely hear a different shades, right? But there are some that are more obvious than others. You've got, you know, your really funky stuff, you know, like this, or like Better off the Flying album, you know, and good heavens, Dunes, off of Pictures of Mountains. Oh man. But like, but then you get, you know, then you get Skipping Stones and Fireflies and you know what I mean? Stuff like that. That is just really,
photographs.
And even pictures of mountains, London, you know, the list goes on.
Yeah.
Is that something you intentionally like foster?
Shoot. Literally someone just showed up at my door.
Go for it.
Want to answer this question. I'm so sorry. I'll be right back.
You're good, man.
Okay, you guys, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Good.
That wasn't even the person that I needed to let in.
Oh, nice.
So I go to the front door, and there's just a guy with, like, a full-size door just, like, sitting there, like, you order this door? And I was like, I don't think so. Like, and so I'm like talking to this guy and he's like, wait a second. So this is, we got the address here. This door is for you. And I'm like, I didn't order a door. We have all of our doors. Like, I think I would know if we were missing a door.
Wow.
And so I just had like the weirdest interaction with this guy.
We paid him to do that. We're like, that'll be our way out. If the interview's bombing, we'll just send the door guy.
Yeah, that's just our door guy. Don't mind him. Okay, so I was asking about, is it something that sort of duality or, you know, I don't want to oversimplify it, but that sort of fluidity in your style, is it something you're like, I'm intentional about this, or is it just a natural extension?
I don't think it's like intentional as much as it is that my problem is that I just get bored really easily. And so I think if somebody was like, yeah, man, we need an album of 12 songs from you that are all kind of the same, I would just be like, well, I'm going to go into banking or something. That just like does not sound enjoyable to me. I heard Jack White say one time, he was just like, stop like trying to make the song something you want it to be and just figure out what the song itself wants itself to be and just make it that. And so for me, I'm like, if I write like a 1950s jazz thing, I'm just like, why fight that? Just like lean into it and have a good time making that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's less of like an intentional, like I want to be eclectic and more of just like, I don't really think I could do it any other way. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of people discovered you on American Idol. So I was watching back through it and I know on Somewhere Over the Rainbow, I thought Where You'll Find would be the high note. And then you like took me into the stratosphere. So I did not see that coming. If you get to tour with either you open or they open for you, Keith, J-Lo, or Harry, who do you pick? Who's your pick?
Oh, Harry Connick.
Okay, easy. Rob guessed that.
I mean, I love Keith and J-Lo, but I think, you know, Harry's just, he's such a musical person. He just, you can just feel it when you talk to him. And so, and I also just think like his fans, my fans, we could probably have some stuff to talk about. So I think that would probably be super enjoyable. Also, if you've never seen Harry Connick like play the piano for real, he's crazy.
Nasty chops.
Yeah.
One of my favorite clips of him is that thing where he was playing on like a morning show or something, you know, and people are clapping off beat. Have you seen that they're clapping on 1 and 3 instead of 2 and 4?
Yes, and he switches.
He throws in a measure of 5-4 so that it makes their clapping right. That's just on the fly.
He turns it back around, yeah.
Man, that's so cool. Brilliant. Okay, so tell us about Thinking About You. We're focusing on that one this week. Tell us about the song, how just sort of start to finish, what the inspiration was, you know, the process, all that good stuff, and then I'm going to ask you about some chords.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I hope I got my chords right. A lot of my music comes from like, you know, I think a lot of artists are like this. I listen to music as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll hear something and just go like, wow, that's really cool and sounds super fun. And so that happened for me with this record by Anomaly, the artist.
Yeah.
If you've never checked him out, he's incredible.
Monster.
And just like his sense of like the way he uses chords and bass notes shifting underneath chords really in a unique way. And just like the sound of like the synths and the funkiness of it, I was just like, man, that just sounds like too much fun for me not to at least try. And so I kind of like, just one day I kind of was sitting around and playing with that Prophet synth and like just kind of came up with that thing and put some drums over it. And then it just kind of became like what it was. And for me, I was in this stage where I had written a bunch of like, you know, slower ballads and kind of like straight ahead pop things like Vegas and like, you know, stuff like that was more geared towards like Spotify single world. And so for me, I wanted to like have like a refresh where I could just like kind of let loose a little bit and just say like, all right, you know what? Like, I can do more than just like write 4-chord pop tunes. Like, let's do something crazy. Let me just like flex all the muscles I got from that freaking Belmont College degree and just like, let's go. All right. I paid so much money for all these jazz chops. Let's use them on something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you showcase your keyboard skills, but also you play 3 different guitars in there too. Like, you're playing a Tele, a Strat, and so 3 different guitars in there too. I thought that was cool. I love that video where you explain everything you do with the chromaticism and pop music and the little boy altar, the little altar boy and the robot.
There's
so much in that. That was great.
Yeah, it's super fun to produce stuff like that because, you know, you can just kind of try wacky stuff and see what sticks to the wall, you know. And I also should mention Steve Gould, drums.
Absolutely.
And Kevin McIntyre on bass, just putting on PhD level clinics, you know.
It's for those of you guys that don't know who Steve Gould is, he's on I Choose You by Sarah Bareilles. And Kevin, we saw Kevin this weekend because we saw Dave Barnes. We went and saw Dave, and he played with
Dave.
That's right.
Kevin
Ryman.
Played at the Ryman.
He did, rocking those white pants. My wife loved his stage presence, thought he was so cool.
Yeah,
but talk about the bass part on this track, because you play a little bit of bass in it because you played the demo, right? And you're in the chorus.
I did.
So talk a little bit about that. That's so cool.
So, you know, I'm a little bit of a control freak. And so I like to just kind of demo out everything as much as possible because, you know, the goal for me is to make the instrumentalists that I'm hiring to give them the best shot to do their best work. And sometimes I think, like, if you leave things too open, the instrumentalists have a hard time honing in on what the end goal is. And so it helps for me to say, like, this is where we're at, this is what we're after. So, like, focus your energy here. And then, like, here are the spots where you can really step out and do something cool. Mm. And boy, did Kevin ever do that. But yeah, I did play bass, you know, on the whole song initially. And I liked it. I thought it was fine, but I thought it really could use somebody who could really take particularly the verses into like a more grounded place. And I don't think I did this in the behind the scenes video, but if you heard the demo versus the verses that, wow, too many uses of the word verses.
So many verses.
If you hear those back to back, mine versus what Kevin played on the verses, it's so much funkier with what Kevin did. Really? I mean, he just brought it, man. It's so good.
I can't tell the tonal differences until you isolated them. Like, they sound
right. Yeah, yeah.
They get lost in the mix. That's awesome.
Well, it is bass after all. No, but you can't really hear it anyway. So.
Especially when people are just, why is one of the most irritating things about making music the fact that, like, people just walk around and listen to it on their phones up in the air. Like,
you know what's amazing, man, is I've come to the terms with that, and I do mix tweaks on my phone speaker now. I like when I get mixes back from mixing engineers, I'm like, how does this sound through my speakerphone? Because that's like
that's
where
how people
experience
listen.
Stuff.
That's crazy.
And so I think, like, man, you know, it's a bummer because, like, I want everybody to have a hi-fi system and experience what things, like, really sound like for real. But at the same time, you got to meet people where they're at, man, and make sure that it's crushing no matter where they're listening to it.
It's good.
Man, that's wild. What a weird thing to have to think about. You know, you think about, like, I don't know, Sinatra or somebody, like, having to think about, these little tiny, people are going to carry around these little micro speakers everywhere, you know? You'd be like, get away, get out of here with that.
It's wild, man.
Just so strange. Okay. I do want to ask you about just the chords on the chorus that we're getting on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause, like, I've got a really good ear. I can't pick those chords out. I just can't do it. So I need to know for my own personal edification what those chords are.
Oh man. I wish I had like piano I could play right in front of me. Basically, it's just, you know, a D flat major 7 to an F minor. That's like the most simplified version of it.
Yeah.
But basically the way I wrote it, and this is kind of the way I do a lot of funk stuff, which is I wrote the bass line first. So I put the drum groove down that I could play over top of. And then I just came up with a bass line that I thought was cool.
Yeah.
And then I just superimposed the chords on top of that.
Nice.
And some of that, it was a lot of trial and error for me because I wanted to capture that sort of like chromaticism without it being too overbearing. And so there were some versions where it was like even more kind of like out there, and some versions where it was more kind of like inside. And I ultimately basically just went with a version that had this one chord where it kind of goes to this like half diminished thing in the middle of walking up to the F minor, that felt like it gave it enough of like a kind of perk your ear to the side, but it's not so much that it sort of like overwhelms the general chord structure. Yeah. The weirdest part about the chord changes is that the bass kind of like lands on a B flat, even though the tonality is an F minor, which is not something I would have done if I had been writing it down on paper, if that makes sense, because it just doesn't look right, but it feels right.
Yeah, it feels amazing.
And so, and for me as like a, you know, I was studied composition and all this stuff. And so like, when I see that stuff, I'm like, that should not work. Why does it work? And I don't really know. I mean, like I can tell you the theory as to what it is, but I don't know why it feels right. If that makes sense. Yeah. Like I understand why it works, but I don't know why it feels right, because it should want to land on that F, you know, in the bass, but it doesn't. I mean, it eventually sort of kisses it on the way down, but like, you know, it's a strange thing where it just feels good, but it isn't quite right.
Yeah, definitely.
I know you're from Northfield, Illinois, correct?
Yes.
Are you a Cubs fan, Bears fan, Bulls fan? What's your
Cubs team? Fan.
Cubs fan.
Yes. Used to take the train and watch games at Wrigley on a pretty regular basis. A lot of my friends would get tickets, you know, like I was never a caddy, but a bunch of my friends were caddies. And so they would like the golfers would just be like, hey, I got season tickets. You want to like go to the game? I can't make tonight. Awesome. And then I would be like, yes, let's go.
Absolutely. Me and Rob are both Braves fans, but I grew up.
Oh, I see.
But I grew up watching the Cubs because they were on WGN.
WGN. So. That's right. Yeah. Well, I grew up in the age of Sammy Sosa. So that was like, you know, it felt like peak Cubs to me. Although then we won the World Series.
Right.
And I cried. It was incredible.
I saw Sosa and McGuire both hit home runs the year of their home run race.
Really?
I saw Sosa hit one out in Atlanta and McGuire in St. Louis. I've been to every Major League Baseball park. I'm a big
Are you fan. Serious?
Yep.
That's incredible.
Enjoyed Wrigley.
I mean, what was your sense of Wrigley? I feel like
it was good. I sat in the 200s behind home in the shade, which is the smart play if you want to take it in. As much as you want to sit in the outfield or on the rooftops, it was cool. I enjoyed it. I really did. It was good. Good vibe. Good stuff.
And good to I hear. Hate baseball. Can't stand it.
We can talk baseball all day, so we have to reel ourselves in. There'll be parts of these where we just kind of blast things that we love about the artist. So for a minute, I'm going to make your head swell, and I'm just going to rapid fire some things that I really love. So just sit there and act like you.
We call it the Great Song Podcast. Gas up.
Yeah, here we go. Better up, is amazing with you and Corey. Corey's guitar tone is perfect. Their percussive keyboard, and then it turns to that beautiful piano bridge. The second keys riff. It's awesome. Maybe the best 4 minutes and 54 seconds of October 2018. Corey's mustache power carries this, and so the way you do your live videos at the Sound Emporium is perfect. And then I forgot about Want Me Back. I love the way that y'all do the video stuff where y'all face the camera with the guitars, which leads into a question, and then I'm going to rapid fire some more stuff. How involved in video production are you? Are you like, this is kind of the idea I want, go with it, or are you like, give full control to your video crew?
Oh man, great question. So I am very involved.
Okay.
But I must say, first of all, that the most important thing, period, is hiring super talented people. And in particular, those videos and the Photograph music video, which was worked on by some of the same people. They're just like the most talented people of all time. But in terms of like, I think that there's a difference between like technical prowess, which is what those guys bring. But then there's like the ideation or the idea making process of like coming up with the concept and coming up with the ideas of what to do in the video. And that is really something I've never been able to hire someone to do yet. Especially back then we were operating on like shoestring budgets. And so like for me, I was the one that like had to come up with all of the like fun stuff. So in Want Me Back in particular, like I basically had to write like a shot by shot list of like, okay, here's what's going to be the intro. Here's what we're going to do when the guitars come in. We'll do the flying V. Everybody looks this way. Everybody we got sunglasses. Yep. Let's put the T-Rex in the control room. We got the horn players playing cards. Like it's that, like I came up with all those ideas, because, you know, I'm hiring the video guys for one day to shoot the video. I'm not hiring them to spend months figuring out
planning out the video.
Yeah.
They're basically just running the camera to capture your idea.
And so their job is super difficult, but my job is to come up with what the heck we're doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I think that, like, if there are any artists listening, I would say, like, don't ever let your foot off the gas in that way. Like, it is my job as the artist to, like, make sure that what I like to call, like, the story is always being honored. Because when you hire people that have amazing technical prowess, that's, like, their thing. They love the lenses, how amazing things look, and that's why you hire them. But it's not their job to make sure that the story is being honored.
That's good.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's my job. And so I always have to be there to say, like, hey, let's, like, bring it back to what the core of this is about, which is, you know, for Want Me Back, it was just, like, fun. Mm-hmm. We just always want it to just be fun. And for Photograph, it was more of, like, a narrative story thing that I had to make sure I was there saying, like, all right, but, like, does this really make sense in terms of, like, what we want the audience to feel in this moment?
Yeah,
right?
You capture it perfectly in Photograph. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but didn't you have the video in your mind as you were recording it and writing it? I heard that somewhere. You could confirm that if that's true. But
totally. Yeah, that's not something I do, like, super often, but for whatever reason, like, when I was chasing inspiration, writing the song Photograph, I just, like, had such specific images in my mind of, like, what I wanted the video to be like.
Dude, playing with your hair is captured perfectly. Like, that's the moment of the video. It's so, so good.
My favorite moment of the video is the beginning of the second chorus, when the camera finally pulls back and we see this, like, frozen scene, and then the lights dim. It's like a painting. You know, I mean, like, that's Dakota Dial and Chris Beirute, the directors that, I mean, you know, I write the narrative, but they're the people who say, like, all right, here's how we're going to compose this shot. And I just, like, could not, it looked like a painting. It was unbelievable.
It looked like a photograph.
There you go.
I love dueling pianos with John McLaughlin. Your matchup and Go Inhuman is perfect. And I've never seen anybody use the left hand to palm mute the piano. That might be a common thing, but I've never seen anybody do that the way you do that when you're palm muting inside the piano. That's so cool.
Oh, yes. Actually, that might have been a Harry Connick trick, honestly. I might have seen him do that one time.
That's awesome. And speaking of palm mutes, I have to talk about Old Friends with Ben Rector, with just the two of it. I love it so much. So good on that. From the Cold, live at LA Studio, is Sonical Magic. Did you write and arrange the string arrangement for that, for the string parts?
Yes. So part of my weird nerd thing is that I do all of my own orchestrations for everything. So
any strings,
horns you hear on my records is always going to be me.
Did you tell fantastic. Nico and Kyle to try to look as much as like you as possible with their apparel and haircut? Because the three you guys, Nico is the percussionist and Kyle's the guy playing acoustic guitar. Yep. And you guys look like you're like, okay, I want you to wear this kind of clothes, cut your hair this way. It's like three versions of Cody. Did you intentionally do that, or was that accidental?
That's my prerequisite for all hires. I'm just like, how much do you look like me?
Me and Rob are out.
Yeah.
Bummer. We thought we were going to be.
If I'm ever sick at a show, can you fill in for me at the front?
Can you play me?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's great.
And you get dizzy watching that video with the circular rotation.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Honestly, that
video for From the Cold was like the first time I really, for me, you know, I think I spent like $2,500 on the video all told, which is,
oh, dude, it looks like a lot more
cheap.
Than that. That's
amazing. I know. But for me, that was like so much money at that time. It was like 2011 or something when that, or 2013. And like, but that was the video for me that really, like, I was like, oh man, like, video as a medium in music can, like, really be something cool when it's live and being filmed at the same time. And so,
how much of that really was live, or was there overdubs?
The whole thing.
That's amazing.
Literally the whole thing.
Dude, there's so much going on there. Like, I was like, there's no way that's a one take live thing.
I think what we ended up doing is the strings needed a little support during the loud section. And so there's like some MIDI strings that we used underneath just because I didn't have enough money to hire 50 people.
Boost.
So, you know, we just, I used a little bit of cheating there, but really it's live. That's really what
it's
sounded like.
So good.
That's crazy.
It's my favorite stuff to do.
I kind of feel like I know this, but when you're producing at home, when you're working on stuff and even stuff that makes final album, How often are you using an acoustic piano versus plugins?
It's really song dependent. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I have never recorded an acoustic piano in my own studio. Okay. However, if I could pan the camera, you would be able to see it. But I now have my Yamaha U3 or U1 upright set up right next to me in my studio, and it's mic'd up and ready to go. So
Oh, nice.
That is going to be my piano in future albums. But like for, I'm trying to think, like a lot of the stuff I do is Keyscape, which is the Omnisphere or Spectrasonics plugin. And then just, you know, it depends on if the piano is really important, I'll go and record it somewhere. I use Sound Emporium a lot for recording piano. And for the album Flying, tracked with this producer named Chad Copeland, who's in Norman, Oklahoma, and he has an amazing piano set up there. And so a lot of the real pianos you hear were not actually something I recorded in my studio. However, going forward, that is all changing.
It was MKS-20 on the Thinking About You, right? That was the
Oh, man, there was a lot of stuff. Okay. I think there was an MKS-20. I think Keyscape is on there. I think there's the Arturia Prophet, which is like a Prophet like emulation. Yeah. And also my real Juno. Well, you can see I've got a synth stack over here, and we got
There we go. Lovely.
Piano over here.
Good camera work.
Great podcast content. People can't see any
of this. We can ooh and ah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, trust us, folks. It looks great.
Right. People just want to know we're having a good time. That's all.
Super expensive stuff.
Yeah. As far as, you know, producing beats, all this stuff, and I stupidly left my vinyl copy of Pictures of Mountains at home, so I don't have the credits in front of me, but how much of what we're hearing on this album is you, programming-wise, you know, musically speaking, how much is you?
Let's see, Pictures of Mountains. So there was a producer who worked on four songs named John Fields, who is incredible. He's a producer out of Minneapolis. He actually did a bunch of he's been doing basically Ben Rector's whole new album, and then also like he did an album with Dave. He did an album with John McLaughlin. He also kind of like cut his teeth with like Switchfoot and Demi Lovato and the Jonas Brothers and stuff. So he's incredible, and he worked on several of the tunes. So on like What I Needed, on Our Love, like some of the stuff is John, because he's an absolute genius. But if you go back and look on my Instagram, I posted like the credits, you know, like there's like a, you can swipe through all the songs and see who played everything.
I love that you do that at the end, that you put like, even on your videos, you put like who plays.
Oh, yeah.
Which
one. Man, I think it's so important. It's such a bummer that on all these platforms now, you can't like really read the liner notes. Yeah. I hope that is changing. Because I think it's so important to give credit to the people that.
Because really I would have never known
amazing.
Josh Blaylock, Ryan Connors, Hank Bourne, Adam McPhail, you know, all those people.
These are great people,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and they're great. And I'm like, that's fantastic. But I would have never known who they were. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. Yeah. I think it's super important. But I think for the most part, with Pictures of Mountains, most everything is me, barring like horns / strings, which I arrange, but. Yeah, I don't play them.
Right, sure.
I hire people to play them, but yeah, with a few exceptions. I mean, you'll see. I'm pretty intense with my demoing as well. So even if I hire someone to play something, it's just to make what I did because I couldn't quite play it right. But it's based off of what I would play. Yeah. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah.
It's perfect.
Who would be a dream collab for you, or a dream project even?
Oh man, I think a dream collab would. I can answer this in several different ways. I think
other than J.P. Mosier and Rob Alley, yeah, like we know that's a given.
Right, right.
Like,
those are number one and two. Yeah,
obviously
number
an acoustic
three.
Set with
we'll start with three. That's right.
Man, I really think Jacob Collier, who is like this wonder kid, British. Guy has been nominated.
Well, and y'all can both play
Grammys
everything, so that would be fun.
Yeah, well, I can't play like he can. He is crazy. Yeah. And so I think just like being able to work with him, and I think we'd be able to make something fun together. I also like think it'd be really fun to collaborate with like a film composer on a track, like Hans Zimmer or something like that. I think it'd be really fun. And then also just like I really respect dudes like Bon Iver, or Justin Vernon, because like the way he does his music is so different than the way I do my music. And so it would be so fun to like collaborate and just see, like, it's basically like the opposite of my approach kind of. And so just to like be able to sit in that and go like, how does this even work for you? You know, and like learn from that, I think would be a super fun experience.
Well, we know Bon Iver does collabs because he did one with Bruce who's our favorite. Like Bruce is on our Mount
Rushmore.
Are you
serious? Bruce Hornsby. Bruce Hornsby is my spirit animal.
Oh, dude. That is. Yes. We just became family right there. Okay. This serious question that we debate all the time. Yeah. Are you Bruce and the Range? Are you Bruce and the Noisemakers?
Or are you Bruce
or are you just Bruce solo? You got to pick a side. So me and Rob debate this all the time. You have to pick a favorite family member.
Man, I just don't know. It's hard to say. Really, it's just like when I say he's my spirit animal, well, it's like I want to play piano like he plays. Like that's like,
don't we all?
And it's on all the records. You can't mistake Bruce, man. Yeah, and so it's to me, that's like so much of my inspiration for the way I play is from him.
If it ever goes south in music, you should go into politics. That's the wonderful way to answer that. Like that was perfect. You said it tastefully and kept all parties happy, and everybody votes for Cody.
That made me super happy because every time I listen to a piano player who I love, you know, once I fall in love with somebody's stuff, then I listen to him and go, I'll hear something and I'll force myself to go, I bet he listens to Bruce. You know? So, but it's good to know when I'm right. You know, it's good to know. That's awesome.
For sure.
What's your favorite Disney soundtrack? I asked because...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a good
one. What a question. Yes. Sorry, I cut you off.
No. I just asked because you know, so much of your softer side is reminiscent to me of sort of a, you know, that classic era of soundtrack writing.
Right.
It reminds me just a lot of like the most beautiful, what's the word I'm looking for? Like sentimental... You know, writing of some of those wonderful animated Disney movies and stuff like that. So I thought maybe you were a Disney guy.
Oh, I definitely am. I mean, Alan Menken to me is like top of the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I really think Lion King is tough to beat. It's just, there's so much energy there. Oh man! Also, I was revisiting the other day the Prince of Egypt soundtrack, which is so good.
Solid. Oh man, there we go.
That tune, "Go the Distance," man. Wow.
Is that Elton John do that? And Tim Robbins?
Yeah, I mean, Prince of Egypt. I think
I don't remember.
I can't remember if that was Elton John. I don't.
No. Yeah.
I don't think it was. I'd have to look it up. I'm not great with names. I know that Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston.
Elton
sang
John
one
used
of the
to play the piano. Yeah, miraculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Man, there's so many good Disney soundtracks, man.
It's true. Lion King is hard to beat. I mean, it's got such a feel, you know. It's so powerful for sure.
Hit after hit. Yeah.
Hit after hit.
Yep.
Hit after hit. Okay, you get one song at the Ryman. The entire world is watching. One song. It's just you. Do you go out there acoustic guitar? Do you go out there piano? Do you do ballad? Do you do funk? What's your... You get one shot. One shot, one kill. Ryman, world's watching.
Oof. I think the Ryman is such a specific venue, and I think that this would work. I'd definitely play piano because that's where my strong, strong point. I think I would probably play Photograph.
Okay.
I think it seems like the type of room and the type of audiences that respond well to songs of that nature.
That's great. When you finish, do they all stand and applaud, or are they all weeping on their knees? I'm going weeping on knees.
I don't know, man. Either way, I would be happy. It was a tough choice for me between the song Photograph and the song Flying, because I love playing both of them, and they both, to me, like have a similar cerebral quality that I think listeners of that type of venue would really enjoy.
That would translate the room well.
I was so bummed. We were supposed to play the Ryman back in March of 2020.
And, I didn't know that. Man. Oh, my goodness.
Sweet, sweet COVID.
That's a problem. That's a real disappointment.
How's the Eleanor Rigby choir part going?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Is it coming together?
So many people. I cannot believe how many people have submitted files for this Rigby choir. It's honestly too many. I really messed up. It's so much work. It's way too many people. And so, and what I did not expect is that so many people are emailing me and being like, hey, man, I recorded every part and I gave you four options on every part. And
holy
so like, here's
cow.
Like 4 gigabytes worth of audio files. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like,
that's daunting.
And it's really amazing to me. I'm just like, gosh, what? I just the coolest fans, you know, like that not only are just like, okay, I'll give this a shot, but they're also just like, no, let me really deliver on this.
That's awesome.
That's excellent. I think I got one more. I need to know, and I saw this on your Instagram, but I want our listeners who may not follow you on Instagram yet to hear this because I loved it so much. Can you tell us a little bit about Skipping Stones and Fireflies?
I was just a brittle stone, buried in the earth alone, wondering if I'd ever leave the ground. Then one day a passerby threw me over the lake and I skipped. And for a moment I could fly. Oh,
first of all, I almost get mad when I listen to it because I'm like, how is this guy making me care this much about a rock? But it's like, you know, it's like I'm getting emotional over this stone, dude. I don't understand.
Yeah, man.
But tell us a little bit about sort of your philosophy and how it plays in with, well, I'll just let you tell it. You go.
Yeah. So on a lyrical side, it's actually a unique tune for me because I actually wrote the lyrics by themselves with no melody, which I almost never do. That's not how I write music. To me, a song comes out all at once. It's melody and lyrics together. But this Skipping Stones was written more of like as a poem project rather than a song. And on the production side, I was listening to Jacob Collier back in whenever I wrote that song. And I just thought, man, I love the way he layers vocals and it's something I'd been wanting to experiment with. And so I just started going. It was also a unique production thing for me because I am an arranger at heart. I love to put things on paper, see them vertically and like do the thing. And for Skipping Stones and Fireflies, I improvised all the vocal parts as I was recording. So there's no chart. It's just kind of me layering and feeling like, okay, I need a little more low end here. Ooh, what if we threw like this note in right here and gave it the like augmented five feel? And so like, it was just kind of me kind of shooting from the hip and recorded the whole thing in a couple hours, probably from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. and yeah, I mean, lyrically, you know, I think like I said this in one of my videos, but like, you know, I love the character Tom Bombadil in The Lord of the Rings. If you've ever read these books, there's this guy who lives in the woods and he's just like has all these crazy powers and he just like shows up for a chapter and then is never heard from again. And you're just like, who the heck was that guy? And so to me, like every good piece of art, every album needs like this enigma that is never really explained. And so like that's kind of what Skipping Stones is for me. It like doesn't quite fit in anywhere else. But ultimately it's a love story. It's the way that like my wife makes me feel, which is just like, yeah, I was just sitting there and then all of a sudden this amazing thing happened to me.
Yeah. Man.
One day you'll look back and be like, remember when those guys from the Great Song Podcast just kind of popped in?
Yeah.
We're
Skipping Stones 2.0.
Yeah. You inspired me a lot with your Made It video. So thanks for that. We're going to keep doing what we do. So appreciate you throwing that out for us. That's good. And Pictures of Mountains, I mean, you could pick a line from that whole song, but my favorite's probably I Should Call My Friends, but I read their posts online. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think that's the best from that. The only one that may compete with me on best Cody Fry lyric ever is the If I Make Myself a Superpower, I'd Make This Moment Last for Hours. What's your karate chop hi-ya moment that's the best lyric I've ever written? What's yours that you're super proud of?
You can brag. Oh, man.
Gloat on yourself where you're like, really... I killed it.
Okay, every time I sing this line live, I always look the audience dead in the face because okay. I want people to really feel it. And there's a line in the song Flying at the beginning of the second verse, and the line is, did faith let me down or did I not have enough? That distinction is tough. And to me,
yeah.
I just want people to feel that, because I'm like, that's what I deal with all the time. I'm just like, I feel like I have this like greater calling and purpose. And if it's, what happens if it's not happening? Is it because I just didn't have enough faith, or like, is it because my faith has let me down? And like, to me, I just want people to understand that like, it's okay to like live in that and just be like, yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're looking our listeners right in the eye.
That's right.
Yeah, however,
that's
you can right. do that over the airwaves. Yeah. And you delivered that.
But there are a lot of lines in the song Pictures of Mountains I really like too. You brought up that one. One was like a kind of a statement for me of just like, what have we become, you know?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Well, there's one question we ask everybody. Cody, this has been a blast. Yeah. Hope you've had a good time.
This is amazing.
Super cool hanging out with one of our favorites. We ask everybody this. So you're on tour, solo, with a band, whatever. You go into a gas station. What is your gas station snack food of choice? And while you're thinking of it, I'll tell you mine. I get a Three Musketeers bar. When I was growing up, my mom would say you could have any candy bar you want, and that's the most ounces. They're all the same price, so I'd get a Three Musketeers bar. What is your gas station snack food of choice?
Literally, we were in a bus, I don't know, a couple months ago. We stopped at a gas station, and I went in, and I bought a king-size Twix bar, which is just four Twix bars.
Yeah.
I don't know why they call it, well, whatever.
Right, anyway, they're not extra long
Twix.
Or anything.
It's like, no, they're just,
it's like, here's some more Twix.
Yeah. It should be called family size. So you're just like, and king size Twix. And if I'm feeling really good, maybe I'll get a Coca-Cola.
A Coca-Cola. That is definitely a Southernism, isn't it? Coca-Cola.
I don't drink Coke too often, but when I do, it's delicious.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much. You're great.
Honestly, you guys are so kind, and I really appreciate you guys having this. This is fun.
All right. Thanks so
again,
much,
Cody.
Man.
We'll see you soon, man.
Have a great rest of the day.
See ya.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
And that was the incredible mind of Cody Fry. I do have one question for you.
Okay.
What's your favorite fast food fry?
I'm going to go, there's a restaurant that a lot of people may not know. It's called Central Park.
Okay.
And it's only in East Tennessee, maybe. I don't know. Could be a chain. There used to be one in, there may still be one in Cleveland, and I know there's one in Maryville, Tennessee.
Okay.
They're very similar to Checkers and Rally's fries.
Yeah.
So that kind of dark brown fry.
Seasoned heavily.
So y'all will probably know Checkers and Rally's better, but my favorite is Central Park.
Okay.
And you know, more common, probably, you know, the waffle fries from Chick-fil-A would be number two.
Okay.
How about you?
Mine is going to be Checkers / Rally's.
Yeah, okay, good. Same thing. Good.
I'll find any excuse. I'll go out of my way to, you know, I'll bypass other restaurants. When I want those,
I totally get that, because anytime I go through Maryville, I try to convince my wife, like, hey, can we go to Central Park?
Yeah.
And it's a sale. Like, I got to put the sale on because, you know, it's a cheap burger, whatnot, but I love it. So good.
It's delicious. All right. Let us know. What's your fry of choice? Where are you stopping? What will you bypass maybe a better, more interesting burger for to go get somebody else's fries?
Oh, that's good. I like that.
So that's ours. All right. Thank you guys for listening so much as Modern Men of Pop Month begins with the delicious Cody Fry. We'll be back next week with another great song and another marvelous modern man. until then, I'm Rob.
I'm JP.
Go listen to some music.